Finally, Abraham said to Lot, "Let's not allow this conflict to come between us or between those who take care of our animals. After all, we are close relatives. The whole region is at our disposal. Choose the part of the land you prefer, and we will part. If you want the land on the left, then I will take the land on the right. If you prefer the land on the right, I will go to the left." Lot looked closely at the fertile plains of the Jordan Valley in the direction of Zoar. All that region had an abundance of water, such as the garden of the Lord or the beautiful lands of Egypt. This happened before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. I would like you to help me complete the next sentence. The next sentence, come on, complete it with me. Not everything that shines is exactly. It is a phrase that we could call a draw phrase, or that we have it well threshed, right? But when we express it, we simply do it to denote or to make a comprehension about the things that we may be observing at the moment and that seem important to us, that seem good to us. But what is hidden behind them is not good. That's why every time there is something we consider valuable, perhaps someone else comes to tell us, be careful, because not everything that glitters is gold. We can be deceived many times before people, situations which we call opportunities, or people whom we call friends, and who present themselves with an appearance of pity, present themselves with an appearance of something good, but in reality, we don't know what's in their heart and what is hidden behind it. Someone once said that our feet walk, or to where our eyes point. Jesus said it this way: to where is our treasure, our heart will be. And the problem is that we let ourselves be carried away by what is in front of our eyes. We observe and we can see in front of our gaze what is in front of our eyes is good. And I can tell you in quotes, because it really seems good to us, and that why we judge things according to the position and according to the knowledge or the amount of information we have on the matter. How many opportunities or how many situations or doors have been opened? We have called them an opportunity, and once we entered through it, we realized that at the end was a total failure. Look, the Bible is so wise. The words of God never pass, and the following is written in it. There are ways that seem good to man, but it ends in the way of death. It's not about walking through life behind what it seems. I don't know if you have ever heard, or have you ever been on a highway where it's very hot, and when you go in your car and you start to look into the distance, the road seems to be full of water. And once you get to the point where you are observing, you realize that it was simply a reflection of the heat. Sadly, we let ourselves be carried away by life, by those things that seem good. You start a relationship, you start to meet someone, and it seems good to you. And then you make the decision of your life, sometimes a small opportunity, some business, and you start to think, it's the opportunity of your life, what you always wanted to have. And when you come to see, you realize that it was just something that seemed. It was not. My beloved friends, be careful to let yourself be guided by what your eyes see, because what your eyes see will be influenced by what there in your heart. And many times the heart desires are deceiving. The heart goes after those things that are short term. And the heart has been fed by philosophies. It has been fed by circumstances. The heart has been limited by all those things that we listen to. When we see, when we perceive, we think that it's good. The question is it really good? We know the background of everything. That's why today, this story, I'm going to put it in this context. Lot was Abraham's nephew. Abraham was a man with a great responsibility because he had a great promise from God. And what was the promise of Abraham? God visits him once in his house and says to him, get out of your land and from your relatives to the place that I am going to show you. He left with a promise from his house, believing that God was going to take him to a better place. And that promise was going to be fulfilled. And of course, yes, however God gives Abraham an order, and that if he had obeyed, he would have avoided many problems. As it happens to us today, every time we receive advice, every time we receive a word from God, and we omit it, we are winning more problems. Instead of omitting them, instead of ensuring a certain victory because meditating on the word receives this advice. God knows more than you and I. And when receiving his advice, he assures a certain victory worth the redundancy. And God said to Abraham, come out of your land and from your kindred to the place that I will give you. I am going to show. But only Abraham left. Abraham left his house, but he took his nephew, Lot. Lot is not within the plan of God with Abraham. However, that is the problem when we have the complex God and we want to be better than God. I imagine, I put myself in the place of Abraham, suddenly thinking that his nephew was alone, that he was going to be alone there, and that suddenly he would have to take care of him. And he ignored the Lord. At some point, when he left, he took his nephew. That's what happens to us many times. We do not let others live processes, and we want to go through life solving the problems of many other people. There are people who live worried, burdened, stressed, and not precisely because of things that are happening to them, but because they carry the problems of all their house, or bearing the problems of their children, the family, etc., etc. I give you an advice. You and I cannot be God, and you will never love people more than God loves them. That's why it's important that each person lives his processes. It's important that each person reaches that degree of maturity and knows God. But sometimes we intervene. But Abraham, as we say around there, put in the spoonful, took Lot. And later, when God began to bless Abraham, Lot, by the fact of being in the house of Abraham, he was also blessed. The cattle of the two grew, his servants grew, to the point that at the time came when the shepherds of Abraham, who Lot's shepherd holders, began to argue because he wanted to monopolize all the zone for its flocks. This brought annoyance. Then Abraham calls to Lot and says to him, I think that the time has come to separate. So now you are blessed. I did as far as I could. I believe that the time has come to better separate, because if we don't, later we are going to lose peace. Then look at this plane, choose the place where you want to be. If you go to the right, I go to the left. If you go to the left, I go to the right. You choose the place. I believe that the time has come to become independent. Says the word that Lot began to observe a certain plane and to see that there were abundant pastures before his eyes, assured an excellent future for him, his family, and all his herds, along with all his workers. What he was seeing was a fertile land. What he was seeing was a place of dreams, the place where every man of the moment, of the time, had liked to live, a fertile land. That was the plan. And like Abraham, he gave him the opportunity to choose first. He did not think twice. He did not find out. He did not investigate the place. He was carried away by what was before his eyes. And he chose that land, a land in which he had decided to settle with his family, start everything to grow, to take root. What Lot had not seen was that it was a land where evil abounded. That God's plans, very soon, they were going to be destroying that place. Instead, Abraham lived by faith. Lot let himself be carried away by what was before his eyes. Calculations according to his knowledge. He thought, perceived, and simply let himself be carried away. At some point, we have let ourselves be led by what the heart dictates. And that is something serious, because the only thing that it brings are disastrous consequences, because the heart of the man is deceiving more than all things, says the word. A heart that is not subject to God is a heart that lives according to his desires, his pleasures, desires and pleasures that always at some point will bring consequences. Not very good, disastrous consequences. Abraham instead lived by faith, and he knew that wherever he was, even though his eyes were seeing desert, he knew that it was the place that God had for him. There in the middle of the desert, God would make food sprout. There in the middle of the desert, God would make grass green sprout. And even in the middle of dry land, God will cause springs of living water. That's a great difference between living by what we perceive and see, and living by faith. Faith is not subject to the reality of life, because there are things that are short term, because there are things that come and go. There are things that you can long for, and when you have them, you consider that, wow, it is your happiness, you reached it. But once you get used to them, it does not matter to you. And again, you are looking for that other land you can own, because this one really did not bring satisfaction. There was no delight in your life. But when you live by faith, you know that you have a wonderful, powerful Father who guards you, who provides you, who cares for you, who supports you today. You can sleep peacefully, calmly tomorrow. You will continue to have that support, because you do not depend on what you earn, because you do not depend on what you can give, but what comes from heaven. Something that has already been assured from eternity, and that we can enjoy. Abraham knew that if Lot chose all that plain, although it looked green, and suddenly towards the other side, the sight was not so good, Abraham was not guided by what his eyes saw. They were guided by what he had believed. God gave me a promise, and I am going to walk in it, because I know that he is going to comply, and I will enjoy it. When you have faith, you don't lose focus. When you have faith, you stay. You stay in all of the circumstances of life are hard, even if it seems that it will not happen. Even if it seems that everything is closed, you continue to believe. Lord, I believe, I believe, I believe that you are going to do it. I believe that your promises are kept. I believe that I am going to see it, Lord. My eyes are seeing something that seems good. But first, I turn to you so that you can show me if it is really what you want for me. What do you think if you make a stop in your life and you start walking that way? It's easy to be guided by the eyes. But today, God does not want you to see the external, but understand that he has more wonderful and amazing things for you. Do you know what happened to Lot? The land was destroyed. He lost all his hard work for years in the blink of an eye, and he had to start again. Do you want the same thing to happen to you as Lot? Or do you want to walk as Abraham walked? where the support of God was always with him, and he was prosperous in everything. Father, I thank you for your words, because your word is alive, effective, because your word, Lord, comforts us, and your word sustains us. Walking without you, Lord, is like making the decision to go down a ravine blindly. We think that we are going to step in the direct correction, but it is slippery terrain. You gave us life, Lord, and how to live it. Although it depends on us, under your instructions, we will do it well. That's why I ask you to guide us, Lord, on this day, to help us to see beyond what our eyes can see. To see, Lord, not the reality, but with the eyes of faith, a stronger reality than the present reality. That eternal reality in which you live and which you own. Thank you, Lord. This was a translation from your pastor and friend, Elias Hoyos. Blessings.